Okay, I'm here with Brian, who better known on the website as Wow Yoda.
Hello.
Hello, all the way from America.
Yay!
So, as I said, we're going to discuss Blizzard's latest expansion to their massive multiplayer game, World of Warcraft, The Mists of Pandaria. It caused a bit of controversy when it was announced because it was deemed to have, dumbed down the game and introduced, kung fu pandas and all that sort of stuff, and battle pets and Pokemon type stuff. But I don't think it's dumbed down at all. I think it's a new, fresh take for a new generation of players.
I completely agree with that statement. I mean, a lot of the stuff that they've added, I've really enjoyed throughout the series. Even at the couple days before it came out, I thoroughly enjoyed the time that I didn't have it with the content that I could still mess around with.
Yeah, because they introduced the new talent system before in the patch before the expansion was. Went
Yeah, as well
live.
as including the pet battle system, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's let's be honest. I mean we're both fans, but we've got to be at least brutally honest and say that the pet battle system is a complete rip-off of Pokemon. But so
Yeah,
what? I mean,
of course.
it's still fun. I mean, I'm not a big Pokemon fan, I'll be honest with you. I actually can't stand the game, but I know you love it. Have you got them all yet?
No. I haven't even got them all in Pokemon. I doubt I'll do the same for WoW.
Have you done the beat all the pet trainers in each continent yet?
I've done the not the first continent. I've done maybe like one or two for each continent, and that's it. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but right now I'm just mainly concerned on leveling up my monk. It's just that I'll happen to defeat like maybe four or five of the, pardon me, pet battles, not Pokemon battles, on the way to different herbs or different quest monsters that I have to kill. So it's actually being a nice little disturbance during all my quests too, which I actually didn't anticipate that I'd like them that much.
Well, pet battles is your segment, so take it away. As we've been talking about them, so go for it. What do you think of the pet battle system?
I really enjoy it, but it does definitely need some work. For example, I've had one situation. All of the pets have their own little passive. For example, the undead ones, once you knock them out, they'll respawn, be invulnerable for one turn, and then they'll faint again. Or get killed, rather, actually. Pardon me, fainting is Pokemon. But the only problem I had was going against the NPC. I knocked it out, it died, came back to life, killed mine, and I lost the battle. So I figured if the role was reversed, then I should win the battle, but it wasn't true.
No.
The enemy still lost, and I had actually unfortunately caught one of the other pets that time, and I didn't get it because it counted as a loss instead of a victory.
Right.
Anybody who's coming just completely brand new to WoW will have to pay 90 gold, which is impossible at level 5, which kind of got annoying for me. I'm sure if you have your main at level 70 plus or whatever, 90 gold's no problem to throw down, but somebody, like I said, brand new to the game, not gonna happen.
I mean, obviously, not a problem for us because we've got all 85s and whatever at this
Yeah,
time. So,
only like 10, 12, however many it takes on
so
different servers.
we're rolling in gold. But I mean, I totally agree. When I first ran up to the pet battle trainer up in the hills area, and she said 90 gold, and I was like, "Why, are you serious?" I mean, I'm lucky if I've got 5 gold. Yeah, that's an interesting part of it. This is that every single one of your characters on your account, whether they're even on the same faction, can access, and even the same server can access your pets.
And actually cross server too, because I checked with my horde that I never use because I just don't really like horde. I find them boring, but that's another situation entirely. But my level 52 Orcish Shaman was actually able to use all of the same pets that I had leveled up.
And that's awesome because you can actually that means you can get all the hordish sort of related pets on your horde character and all the alliance characters and get your
Yeah,
alliance
or of
pets.
course you can just go on a nice 40-man raid and then kind of sneak off to the side, battle a few pets. So, maybe not.
I don't delve
Hang
that
on, I'm
deep
gonna
into
throw.
it.
I'm trying to kill these black rats. Give me a moment.
I just hot logged onto one of my horde characters and just walked around Orgrimmar. I mean, it was kind of easy. I'm not going to try and storm the gates.
I really enjoy it, and I actually enjoy the fact that there are no stupid potions like the Pokemon will have, because if you're going against a trainer in Pokemon, he'll just start pouring potions every single turn to his Pokemon, you're not getting anywhere. Whereas this one, once your thing's down or it has low HP, that's basically it, unless you have a healing move.
And what about the different sort of classes, like that's a poor, common, uncommon, rare type stuff. You find that a bit, I find that a bit pointless.
I find the use of it to be actually intriguing, because based on if you find poor ones, common, etc., it actually has better stats, which you can also find in Pokemon. Again, yeah. the length of Pokemon of how it does it is a whole lot more advanced. I won't go through their whole system.
Well, you've been talking about levels for your own characters. Does that apply also to the pets themselves? Can you actually power up your pets?
They have their own experience, so they don't level up alongside of you. So you can take a level 90 character if you have, go through the level 1 areas, and get your tush beaten by these level 1 creatures in the areas. It's not likely to happen, but it still can.
Yeah, but they do eventually, they do have their own XP and do level as well, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, but they don't evolve, though.
They don't, which yeah. I think, I mean, it's a part that isn't as in-depth as Pokemon, of course, would do, but quite frankly, I don't want a Pokemon game. If I want to have a nice little battle on the side, I got my own little creatures. That's all I have to worry about, instead of trying to get, okay, I got a rat, then I've got, I guess, bigger rat and biggest rat.
Sabertooth rat.
That's right.
Well, that sort of answers my next question. My next question was actually going to be something along the lines of, can your creature turn on you at some point? Can it want to break away from the leash that you've held on it and turn on you and kill you?
It'd be funny if they would do that at some points. I guess the closest thing they have to that is a squirrel called Nuts, and it would just kind of go around and stun your team or anybody, or even just you, depending, and just throw nuts at you and stun your character for 3 seconds. One other thing that kind of perturbs me, if you have the Pokemon battles, it has multiple, one creature can have one certain class, like grass types, for example, will have like 3 or 4 different weaknesses, and 3 or 4 different things will be good against them. The pet battles only have one thing that's good against them, and vice versa, with the exception, of course, of the moves, but I mean the base creatures themselves, which to me is, I've actually made a little sheet, a table of all of their different what's good against what and so forth.
Which is what WoW Yoda should do.
Yeah, exactly. It's just way too linear to me, or too much of a circle, whereas the Pokemon one, if you divvy out the lines, or your lines are going all throughout the middle of your circle, whereas in this one, it's just making a little hoop, and that's basically it.
Yeah, but isn't that part of the making it easy? I actually find that a lot easier. I mean, the mathematics of Pokemon are quite extreme.
Uh-huh.
So the pet battles thing,
I
actually think is
more in-depth, which I find to be more fun, but that's just me, because I like analyzing the heck out of everything.
Yeah, but for Pokemon that makes sense, because that's the entire game, but for the pet battle system of Warcraft, it's a side game. I mean, for people like me who really don't give a crap, it makes it a lot easier. I know all I need to know is that my blue clockwork robot is going to kick the butt of basically everything, except for the undead. So I'm cool with it. Okay, well that's pretty much it for the pet battle system. So I guess what we'll do is then move into one of my ones. So I had the job of looking for creating a Pandaren. We both did, obviously, but it was pretty exciting. Like, so the first day of the release, I created a Pandaren, and of course, the starting area is completely packed, but I gotta say it is very, very impressive. I mean, Blizzard have pulled out all the stops for the starting area. They've obviously taken a lot of influence from Chinese and a little bit of Japanese sort of culture, and it's really, really impressive. It's very well thought out. It all just makes perfect sense, and it's just absolutely stunning, especially the new and improved graphics from a couple of patches ago. It just looks magnificent. I mean, there was a couple of times where I'd actually look up and just look around the vistas and stuff, mainly because I was waiting for a quest area to get cleared out, because there's thousands of monks running around. So the quests are basically the same sort of thing. I mean, it's go there, fetch this, kill this, whatever the case may be. But they have a very interesting sort of lore to them, and they have like really cool flavor text. When you've been playing it for a while, basically you ignore the flavor text that pops up. You just go, yeah, accept the quest and off you go, because they're all pretty much the same, so you know what you need to do. Yeah. It's very rarely do you need to read it, but I read every single one of them, and it's really, really cool. I'm a huge fan of JoJo, and he's increasing levels of trying to impress you with his head-butting technique. Absolutely awesome. The NCPs in this area are great. Quite a lot about it's all about friendship and companionship and honor.
Is this expansion pack aimed at a younger audience then with that in mind, you know, themes of loyalty and friendship? Is it actually aimed more at, say, teenagers or even, you know, pre-adolescents to get them to play the game?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, they've, I mean, the game's been out for, you know, what, 7 years or whatever it is, Brian?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a whole new generation of people to go through now, and so...
To get addicted.
Yeah, to get addicted. Let's be honest here. I mean, they want their, you know, their addicted players. There's no denying it. So they've introduced...
Before Cataclysm, though, people have been asking for the Pandarans to become a playable race.
Yeah, well, not many people.
Well, there were those who really enjoyed them, and it actually started off as a joke, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing to note is that the Pandarans have been a part of World of Warcraft lore for a long, long time, since the original RTS games. Mm. So it's not like they've just seen Kung Fu Panda and, you know, sort of jumped on it. If anything, they should be suing Kung Fu Panda, because it's, you know, a complete ripoff. So this is aimed... It is definitely aimed for a younger audience, there's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that it's dumbed down as much as people say it is. Mm. I mean,
does it make it... In your opinion, is it easy then for young people or a new person to actually come in and play the game? If it's still being true to, as you say, 7 years' worth of history... Mm. Is it easy in your opinion, for a young player to come or a new player to come in and play the game and still get caught up in the world without having had the backstory?
I do. Yeah, Brian, what do you reckon?
I agree. I mean, Lures, it slowly integrates you into the storyline over the whole time. It doesn't just poof, here's everything and what it's happening. So thankfully, in all the starting zones, I've looked over, I think, like 3 or 4 of the new ones, and they definitely ease you into the story of what's happening with local events, and then gets greater and greater of what all's happening to the world.
Yeah, to the grander scheme, and none have accomplished that as well as the Pandaren starting area, because you start off on I don't know if this is not really a spoiler alert, but the Pandaren starting area is on the back of a giant turtle that swims around the oceans of the world, and they're obscured by mist from the rest of the world, so they actually don't know that the rest of the world's out there. And part of the storyline is that an alliance airship has actually accidentally crashed onto the side of this turtle, and so they go to investigate, and they're revealed to the rest of the world, and they then have to get this crashed ship off the side of the turtle, because it's actually damaged him, and so he's now dying, and which they accomplish, and then they're actually introduced to both the Horde and the Alliance at this period, and you sort of see the best and the worst of each. And I've got to say, actually, the Alliance actually come out worse off, in my opinion. I mean, they've basically enslaved the Horde, you know, their Horde captives, and come across as kind of rude and arrogant.
Yeah, whereas, I agree. It did seem like the Alliance was rather kind of tarnished.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, considering that Garrosh is now in control of the Horde, and, you know, you think they're all evil, horrible monsters, but they were actually the nice ones. They're the ones that helped save the Turtles. So, but then you got this absolutely brilliant bit that they haven't done before, which I just think is awesome. And you would think they would... I thought they would have done it for the goblins, but what they've done is when you get to... when you've completed the opening sequence, so you get to, you know, anywhere between 10 and 12, depending on how you've been leveling, you get a bit where Asa and G, two of the Pandarans, and they have sort of a difference of opinion. And you get to decide... So you get told, well, now it's time to reveal yourself to the world and sort of go out to the wider world and, you know, be a Pandaran. And so you get to decide on who to go with. If you go with... You can go with the Alliance or the Horde. So this cool screen pops up, and you've got this big go with the Horde button, and you've got this big go with the Alliance or button, and it's really cool. And so you get to choose which faction you then become. So up until that point, you're neutral, and so then you go off whichever you choose, and you go off. And then when you get to wherever you choose from. So actually, I've played both, so I've done both of them. And if you choose the Alliance, you go to Stormwind, which is the capital of the Alliance, and you get summoned to meet Varian, the king. And this, I think, it's the first time I've actually ever seen Varian not be a prick. And he actually, you know, he greets you warmly, and he actually challenges you to a spar. He's like, I've heard a lot about your abilities. And so you spar with him, and you knock him on his bum, and you think, oh, that's it, he's going to get up and slice me in two now. But he gets up, he's, ha ha ha, that was grand. And, you know, welcome to the Alliance. And then off you go, and you've got this little area in the gardens, and it's awesome. On the flip side, the Horde, you go off to meet Garrosh, who's in charge, and he's just a psychopath. And then you get thrown in a pit to fight for your life, and then grudgingly accepted into the Horde. It's like, well, I guess you'll make yourself useful at some point. It's really quite strange.
So is it split then into a sort of a good versus evil, the Alliance are good, the Horde are evil, or is there a bit more of a grey in between?
Well, for the Pandarans, there is no good or evil between the Alliance or the Horde, because they don't know yet. Mm. Right? But in the game, there's definitely been a big shift towards the Horde being evil now because of what Garrosh is doing, because Garrosh is insane. So they used to be controlled by a guy named Thrall, or an orc named Thrall.
I pronounce it Thrall.
Yeah.
Because they gave him the name of Slave, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. So, and
well, he was in the Brattle Pits or whatever they're called. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, so even though he's an orc, he's actually very noble. And he's a lot more, in the earlier stories, he's a lot more noble than Varrigan himself, which is why I thought, well, now he's going to get up and kill me, because he was a bit of a nut for a period. But Thrall, he's gone off to become the world shaman now. So he's basically becoming a god at some point. So,
though technically his name now is Goel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's his actual real name.
Yeah.
So Garrosh is now in charge, and he's just some bad guys. So they're definitely trying to picture that the Horde are evil, but they clearly are not. There's actually some of the races in the Horde, like the Tauren, are basically the analogy of the American Indians, and they're probably the most noblest of all the races, except maybe the Draenei, I suppose. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird actually. I actually don't agree with the way Blizzard does it. I mean, they try and picture the non-humans as bad and the humans as good, and sort of set up some sort of, it's kind of racist in a way. And
seems like they're trying to do better on making the Horde not seem as, it seemed for a time, pardon me, that they tried to make the Horde not seem as evil as it was originally depicted in the first two Warcraft games, and then they suddenly put Garrosh with them, and it seems,
now
in general,
completely flipped.
Picture the Horde as Garrosh, and the Horde is just filled with jerks who want to enslave the world.
Yeah, and now you got the scenario with Theramore where they bomb Theramore and kill everybody on the island, and it's like, well,
I haven't gotten to that. Oops.
That's pretty horrible. Well, that's the scenario stuff. You got to do one. It's awesome.
It's okay. I still love you.
But I did the scenarios. Oh, that's not a spoiler alert. It's a new quest thing. Yeah, although we'll do one quick spoiler alert. I don't know if you know about this, Brian, but I found out this morning. But you know the end boss for the Mr. Pandaria expansion is actually Garrosh?
Yes, I know. Thankfully. He deserves to die.
So you actually get to kill him, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. God, he's a douche.
I want to use against them yet.
So that's the Pandaria starting area, which is absolutely beautiful. And now that first day frenzy's over, I highly recommend that you give it a chance. In terms of Luke's question about whether they've sort of dumbed it down or sort of made it easier for the newer players, let's get into the talents.
I, for one, have been enjoying the new talent system. I believe it actually allows for a whole lot more ingenuity with the system. You're able to combine a whole lot more talents, and it took a lot of the old talents that were there that you pretty much put into all of the sections anyway. Because when I was looking through some of the different variants of balance for druids or whatever the case may be, I found that a lot of them would have the exact same positions, which I tried as much as I could to avoid for whenever I did post any of my talent specs. Mm. But thankfully they have now made all of those automatic passives or automatic abilities into each different subset of class for each class, which has made my job, of course, a whole lot easier. And now just made your little 6 individual tiers, each one for each 15 levels, that have their own specific abilities, whether they're passive or active, or toggled, rather, I should say. And this, in my opinion, has actually allowed me to be able to formulate my own little talent specs to a lot more efficiency. The only thing that has gotten kind of annoying for me, though, for example, with the druids, is if you look at the level 15 abilities, is that they all essentially kind of do a very similar thing. That's just movement of the change of the position of your own character. That's just a question of how you end up afterwards, which kind of is upsetting to me.
Oh, I've actually found that that's for everybody. Everybody's first level tier has got something to do with movement, and that's because it's there's a big focus on movement in the boss battles now. But what I find strange about it is it's your first talent, but yet you don't come across these particular boss battles until level 80 anyway.
Exactly.
It's very strange.
So they should be moved to level 60, so that way at level 15 you should have some kind of more fun thing to use while you're leveling.
Talk about the glyphs.
What are the glyphs?
Okay, the glyphs allow you to be able to change different abilities of certain skills or powers of your characters.
I appreciate the the changes to the glyphs. I mean, the glyphs were incredibly frustrating, I thought, to begin with. But now it's just, you got your prime, which, you know, affects your actual character's abilities, and then you got your minor, which is, you know, all just cosmetic type stuff. So that brings us to the main focus of the expansion. So you have the Pandaren, introducing the Pandarens to the World of Warcraft universe, but also a brand new class, the Monk, which I am very excited about. It's my favorite D&D class, so to have it introduced to World of Warcraft is awesome. And they went all out for the Monk. I mean, they obviously realized it was going to be popular. It's a cool class. It's a leather wearing. Of course, you can also wear cloth if you're silly. They've used agility as their main stat, and it's everything you could want a monk to be, punching and kicking, and it's, you know, they just go crazy. They have very cool abilities. They're very fun to level, and they're quite simple to level. I mean, some people might dislike that because there's no, you know, complexity. I mean, like, unlike the mage, where you've got to make sure that your abilities on one, so you can then pass it to the other, and you can combust and all that sort of craziness. The Monk is basically just a three button sort of attack, sort of character, and that's the way you go. Until you get to level 46, when you get Spinning Crane Kick. So that would be probably my only negative to the Monk is at level 46, when you get Spinning Crane Kick, you become a one button character, in my opinion. It's just, you go into a group, into a dungeon, and you just keep hitting Spinning Crane Kick. You might chuck in a Fist of Fury or whatever every now and again, but mainly it's just Spinning Crane Kick just over and over and over again. And it's because Monk's new, there's quite a lot of Monks, and quite often you'll get into a group that is basically all Monks, because they can actually satisfy all three character types, so DPS, tank, and healing. So quite often you'll get an all Monk group, which is pretty cool. But just to have every single person except for the tank Spinning Crane Kick, it becomes a bit monotonous after a while. I've only gotten to level 59, so hopefully maybe it'll even itself out a bit. I mean, you've actually gotten higher than that, haven't you?
No, I just hit 42 or 44.
Oh, okay.
But this weekend,
yeah.
I intend on leveling up some more.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully it'll sort of even itself out a bit more as we go higher, I hope, because at the moment it's actually kind of boring. Up until that point, though, it was brilliant, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And I actually got the minor glyph, back to the glyphs, but there's a minor glyph called Glyph of Jab, because your main ability is chi, and to generate chi you have to jab them, which is basically just punch them. And but if you've got a weapon, they use their weapon instead, the weapon animation. So to keep it as pure a monk as possible, they've got this glyph of jab, which ignores the weapon animation. So you still just keep punching, even if you've got a weapon. And I've got to tell you, that was glorious. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I made a character that looked like Buffy. I don't deny that. She kicks butt. So that's it for our Mr. Pandaria review. I mean, I like it, and I know Brian does too.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's an excellent addition, and I say to all those sort of, you know, so-called hardcore players, just relax and give it a shot. I mean, it is a younger audience aim, but there is nothing wrong with that. And they've done a magnificent job. Keep looking on the website for Brian's WoW Yoda talent specs. I know they're very popular. I mean,
and they're fun to make too, because you can always make them, find a way of having them be different.
It's awesome. I know they're popular. So all the WoW Yoda fans out there, Brian will be back soon with a new spec.
Which I'm actually probably going to make one as soon as I'm done here.
Well, thanks for joining us all the way from America.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us, dude.
Hey, Pandaria.
we'll get you on again for another segment.
Sounds like fun.
All right, man.
Hope you all have a good one, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye!